stuffed eggs.
Run out of steaks, Nanny.
OK, then pass me a bottle of holy water. Hurry up.
None left, Nanny.
We got nothing?
Got an orange, Nanny.
What for?
Run out of lemons.
What good will an orange do if I hit a vampire in the mouth with it? Said Nanny, eyeing the approaching creatures. Igor scratched his head.
Well, I suppose they won't catch cold so easily.
The knocking reverberated around the castle again. Several vampires were creeping across the courtyard. Nanny caught a flicker of light around the edge of the door. Instinct took over. As the vampires began to run, she grabbed Igor and pulled him down. The arch exploded, every stone and plank drifting away on an expanding bubble of eyeball-searing flame. It lifted the vampires off their feet, and they screamed as the fire carried them up. When the brightness had faded a little, Nanny peered carefully into the courtyard. A bird, house-sized, with wings of flame wider than the castle, reared in the broken doorway. Mightily Oates pushed himself up onto his hands and knees. Hot flames roared around him, thundering like fiercely burning gas. His skin should have been blackening already, but against all reason, the fire felt no more deadly than a hot desert wind. The air smelled of camphor and spices. He looked up. The flames wrapped Granny Weatherwax, but they looked oddly transparent, not entirely real. Here and there, little gold and green sparks glittered on her dress, and all the time the fire whipped and tore around her. She looked down at him.
"You're in the wings of a phoenix now, Mr. Oates," she shouted above the noise, "and you ain't burned."
The bird, flapping its wings on her wrist, was incandescent.
"How can—" "You're the scholar. But male birds are always ones for the big display, aren't they?"
"Males? This is a male phoenix?"
"Yes."
It leapt. What flew, as far as Oates could see, was a great bird shape of pale flame, with the little form of the real bird inside it, like the head of a comet. He added to himself, "If that is indeed the real bird." It swooped up into the tower. A yell, cut off quickly, indicated that a vampire hadn't been fast enough. "It doesn't burn itself," Oates said weakly.
"Shouldn't think so," said Granny, stepping over the wreckage. "Wouldn't be much point."
"Then it must be magical fire."
"They say that whether it burns you or not is up to you," said Granny. "I used to watch them as a kid. My granny told me about them. Some cold nights you see them dancing in the sky over the hub, burning green and gold."
"Oh, you mean the Aurora Coriolis," said Oates, trying to make his voice sound matter-of-fact. "But actually that's caused by magic particles hitting the—"
"Dunno what it's caused by," said Granny sharply, "but what it is the phoenix dancing."
She reached out.
"I ought to hold your arm."
"In case I fall over," said Oates, still watching the burning bird.
"That's right."
As he took her weight, the phoenix above them flung back its head and screamed at the sky.
"And to think, I thought it was an allegorical creature," said the priest.
"Well, even allegories have to live," said Granny Weatherwax.
Vampires are not naturally cooperative creatures. It's not in their nature. Every other vampire is a rival for the next meal. In fact, the ideal situation for a vampire is a world in which every other vampire has been killed off and no one seriously believes in vampires anymore. They are by nature as cooperative as sharks. Vampires are just the same, the only real difference being that they can't spell properly. The remnant of the clan scurried through the keep and headed for a door that for some reason had been left ajar. The bucket, containing a cocktail of waters blessed by a knight of Offla, a high priest of Io, and a man so generically holy that he hadn't cut his hair or washed for 70 years, landed on the first two to run through. They did not include the Count and his family, who had moved as one into a side tower. There's no point in having underlings if you don't let them be the first to go through suspicious doors.
"How could you have been so—"
Lacrimosa began, and to her shock got a slap across the face from her father.
"All we need to do is remain calm," said the Count. "There's no need to panic."
"You struck me."
"And most satisfying it was, too," said the Count. "Careful thought is what will save us. That is why we will survive."
"It's not working," said Lacrimosa. "I'm a vampire. I'm supposed to crave blood. And all I can think about is a cup of tea with 3 sugars in it,
whatever the hell that is. That old woman's doing something to us, can't you see?" Not possible, said the Count. Oh, she's sharp for a human, but I don't reckon there's any way she could get into your head or mine.